everyone. Thank you for tuning into the Postmodern Realities podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. I'm Melanie Cogdill, managing editor of the Christian Research Journal. It's January 2019, and you're listening to episode 107, Sharing the Gospel with Those Living with Disability. On this episode, I'm joined by Dr. Mike Batis. Mike is an ordained pastor in Presbyterian Church of America, the PCA, and currently serves as Dean of Students at the Geneva School in Winter Park, Florida, and he has served on the International Board of Directors of Johnny and Friends since 2000. Mike has written a feature article for the Christian Research Journal, and it's called Retelling the Old, Old Story, Sharing the Gospel with Those Living with Disability, and it's free online at our website, equip.org. Mike, it's good to have you on.
Well, it's great to be with you, Melanie. Thanks very much.
Well, first of all, I think this is a question that a lot of people are wondering about because they just wonder if, especially people that you talk about in this article who have intellectual disabilities, if they have the faculties to comprehend the gospel and spiritual truths. And in your article, you talked not only about the simplicity of the gospel for those who can understand it, but you also broaden that question of those who can't understand. So please kind of just fill us in on that.
Sure. That actually comes out of my personal experience, of course. I have a daughter who is multiply disabled. She's now 36, does not have cognitive ability beyond 12 to 18 months in different ranges and different here and there, has never talked or can't care for herself meaningfully. And so that's been a big issue for us is, well, what does that mean for her spiritually? She will never be able to profess Christ as simply as some people can who have developmental disabilities. So I did write about that a little bit in the article. It's, of course, a big question that a lot of families have if they have somebody who's profoundly disabled mentally. And this is where some Christians disagree, Melanie, quite frankly. There are some who see people with disabilities as holy innocents, maybe even angelic in some sense. I'm one of those Christians that says, well, all human beings are fallen and all need redemption, body and soul, from Christ. So what about that? So I did some digging around and found a couple different verses that really help us, I think. And I mentioned this in the article. John 15, Jesus talks about the vine and the branches. He prunes those vines that are fruitful to make them more fruitful. He takes off those that are unfruitful. And so you think of families connected to their church. Children are these little buds. As those buds develop and become fruitful, there's a bunch of grapes. But what if the bud never goes past the flower? What if the bud stays immature? And this is where I think the gardener, God the Father, will kindly and tenderly nurture that flower. He won't cut that off because it's not mature, because it never had the chance to be mature. You combine that with that little passage in 1 Corinthians 7 that it's actually talking about divorce and remarriage. But sort of as an extra little thought, Paul says, the believing spouse sanctifies the unbelieving spouse. Otherwise, your children would not be holy. But as it is, they are holy. So it's this big idea, big biblical idea of covenant, God blessing families through covenant. And so I've taken the position that those who cannot respond intellectually, if they're the children of believers, there's great hope that under God's covenant, connected to the vine of Jesus through family and through faith of families, God will care for them and will bring them home. Do we see that definitively? No. But can we infer that strongly? Yes, I believe we can. So I hope that helps a little bit.
It does. What would you say that people specifically with intellectual disabilities, what do they bring to the church? At our church, I go to a fairly large church, and we do have a ministry to people with intellectual disabilities across a wide spectrum, some who are nonverbal and some who, some kids, for example, who have Down syndrome. And I know even for Christians, sometimes we feel uncomfortable with knowing how to interact with or respond to people with intellectual disabilities. So I don't know that we normally think of them as people who would be bringing gifts to the church.
Sure. You know, I kind of, I shock people a little bit by one of my big theses is that we are all disabled. We're all fallen. We admit that pretty readily in our Christian communities. But seeing ourselves as disabled, we're a little more hesitant to do that. But none of us is whole and perfect physically, mentally, emotionally, psychologically. It's just a matter of degree, not a difference of kind. And so that's the first thing I say, is that people with disabilities are not different from us by kind. They're different by degree. Now, having said that, what gifts do they bring to the church? Again, using my daughter as an example, I say to people that her biggest gift is her presence. She simply, we bring her to church and she is there. She's present. And I can't tell you, Melanie, how many times over the years people have come up to us after church and said something like, you know, while this was happening today, while this hymn was being sung, while the pastor was speaking, while this sacrament was happening, whatever it might be, I was looking at your daughter and God kind of spoke to me about this, or I realized this. And we never cease to be amazed that her ministry is just being there. Now, something else I think they bring, there's several gifts they bring. I think people with disabilities bring the gift of simplicity. They're very simple people. Life becomes much more simple with care and needs, and it brings us back to the basics, and that's a gift that they bring to all of us, is that sometimes we make things more complex than they need to be. Now, on the other hand, I think they also bring complexity. Some of their situations are very complex, and there's no simple answers, and I think that's a gift they bring too, that maybe sometimes we need to be satisfied with without a final, sure, clear, definitive answer. And then I think there's a fourth thing I always think of, perseverance. I think they bring the gift to the church of persevering. I think one of the challenges of the church, especially in America, is that we love to solve problems and move on, you know, find healing, come out of the darkness into light and prosper and move forward in faith. But most disabilities, there is no moving on from it. It is what it is, and it's going to be what it's going to be. And it's about perseverance. It's about doing the same thing every day, working through the difficulty, adapting to a new difficult reality, and still believing and still walking by faith. And I think that's a gift that our friends with disabilities bring, is that we need to kind of a faithfulness over the long haul, which is a good gift, I think, that they bring us.
Your article addresses how to share the gospel with people who live with specifically intellectual disabilities. So how would Christians do that?
Well, you know, I think everybody's unique. Every human being is not only with their DNA unique, but in our whole physical and mental makeup, we're all unique. And with some people, you take one direction with the gospel, and with others, you take another direction. Some people, you speak to their emotions. Some people, you speak to evidences. People with disabilities are the same way, intellectual disabilities. You have to figure out where are they, kind of on that spectrum, what's going to communicate to them the most. But overall, the biggest commonality is you keep things simple. You try to make things very tangible, concrete, simple illustrations, short sentences. Because, again, as I'd said earlier, I believe all people are fallen. All people need redemption, body and soul. If we can understand, if someone can understand, Romans 10:9 helps us. Romans 10:9 says that, you know, if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. It's that simple. We need to help someone understand what that means to believe that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead. Concrete examples, simple sentences, and then individualizing it to that person to help them understand. That's really what it comes down to.
Are there specifically ways people with intellectual disabilities and other disabilities can share the gospel with those of us who consider ourselves quote-unquote normal? I know that, you know, a lot of us, if we're able-bodied and able-mind or intellectually, we might compare ourselves to others who have those challenges and think, oh, I'm normal compared to them. But what are ways in which people with disabilities can be ministering to us?
Sure. A couple different levels there. The first one I think of, we've been talking about people with intellectual disabilities. I always start with the broader spectrum, which is people with disabilities in general. The ways they can share the good news with us is that they've been living a different kind of life, a much different kind of life with whatever their affliction is, whatever disability is. Our friend Johnny Todd is a good example. When she speaks about affliction, she brings a really plausible authority to that discussion. She knows what she's talking about, and people really listen. Well, likewise, I think when a young person with Down syndrome begins to express their faith in Jesus, guess what? People listen. Because here's somebody who is thinking in very simple but clear terms about what love means and about what salvation in Christ means. And so they can share the gospel with us in really powerful ways. Giving those people a chance to speak, however they can speak, whether it's through cerebral palsy or in very simple terms, it has a profound effect on those who listen and those who hear. Because not only do we need to hear the gospel to be saved, we need to hear the gospel every day to be sanctified and to be encouraged and be kept in our walk with Christ. And this is a real gift that our friends at Disabilities can bring. They can speak to us about the good news and how it's affected them. And that's a real gift they bring to the church, too. I should have mentioned that earlier.
I think that's so true. Many years ago, when I was living in California in the San Diego area, the church that I went to would bring people from a home of folks with disabilities, mainly cerebral palsy, to church. And there's this one guy there, I don't know how old he was, maybe late 20s. And if you saw him, you would, you know, he looked profoundly disabled. He couldn't speak. He was in a wheelchair. He had like a board where he could point to things, and he was drooping and drooling all the time and that kind of thing. But his mind was really sharp. And so somebody worked with him, and he, you know, gave a testimony in front of the church, and they read his testimony. And it really moved me and really convicted me just of how I take things for granted. But he was talking about how the Lord was teaching him patience, because an orderly had left him, I think, on the toilet and hadn't come back and got him. And then he had all these sores and all kinds of stuff like that. And he just talked about just in his state what God was teaching him. And it was very humbling.
And boy, there's some real power to that kind of story, isn't there? I mean, he has the right to tell that story and can teach us things that we couldn't hear from anybody else. Yeah, I agree
with you. And that's totally true. And you know, just looking at him, you know, from the outside, if you didn't know that his mind was sharp, you would just think, oh, this person is non-communicative. What could they have to share with the church? But that was something very powerful that he did share with our church.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
You're listening to the Postmodern Realities podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. Today's guest is Dr. Mike Bettis, who wrote a feature article for the Christian Research Journal, and it's called Recalling the Old, Old Story, Sharing the Gospel with Those Living with Disability. And it's free online at our website, equip.org. To read more apologetics articles like this one, please subscribe to the journal. A 6-issue subscription is now at a new lower price of $33.50. To subscribe online, visit our website, equip.org. So the good thing about living in 2019, I think, is that people in general and the church in specific are more concerned and more aware about including people with disabilities in worship and as part of the life of their church. So share with us just any kind of unseen barriers, whether they be social, emotional, or other things that would, you know, prevent them from doing that, and how we can remove those barriers to incorporate them more into the life of the church.
Yeah, that's a big thing, Melanie. And you almost touched on one earlier. I thought about that earlier when you were saying something about the fellow that you used to see at church, and sometimes people aren't sure what to say or how to approach them. The biggest barrier in my mind is fear. It's a huge thing. Those of us who, and we've already used that word, quote-unquote, normal. I always use the quote-unquote normal, because what is normal? That's really a mathematical term about, you know, the means and the medians. Humans aren't normal. We have a range of normality, certainly, but nobody's really normal, right? But those of us who are normal fear those who are different. And we're not sure what to say, perhaps. We're not sure how to greet. And so in an attempt not to offend people, we sometimes avoid them or exclude them altogether. And that's a huge barrier that folks have, that the church still has. I can tell you from personal example that we've visited churches where when we brought our daughter with us, we became invisible. People would walk right on by us. They wouldn't engage at all. And we're tough to miss because she's in a wheelchair. And that's actually what led us to commit to the church we're in now, because when we went with her one Sunday, somebody helped us get her over the curb. Somebody else greeted us at the door and looked down at her and said, "Good morning, young lady. Glad you're here." That kind of thing was consistent all day long. And we thought, wow, I think we're home. So fear is a big one. The unknown is a huge thing. And that's what contributes to fear. I tell people, get over the unknown. Get over, don't be afraid. Just ask. Just say hello. Speak to them like you would anybody else. If they can't answer, the person who's with them will probably answer for them. And then you can say, what do I need to know about so-and-so to help you most? Tell me what I need to know. And that's just sort of a relaxing question. That takes down a big, huge social barrier. The other one, though, Melanie, and I'll get to this if I can here. There's a social stigma still around disabilities. A lot of people in our day don't want to admit that, but it's still there. A lot of people are really stuck in that John 9 thing, where when Jesus is walking along and there's a blind man, his disciples say, so who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And some people are still in that spot. They still think that if there's a disability, there must be a problem behind it. And of course, in that particular instance, Jesus said, it's neither this man nor his parents. That's a false dilemma. There's a third way altogether. This man was born blind that the works of God might be displayed. So fear is a big thing that we need to get rid of, kind of fear of the unknown, the social stigmas. Because frankly, people with disabilities and their families, they have a tough life. And they encounter that at the grocery store, and they encounter that when they go out to the mall or, you know, wherever. They don't need to encounter that at church. And sometimes a lot of people don't come simply because they don't need to have to face the same kind of stuff again.
Well, how can Christians be more proactive and include people with disabilities and bring them into church?
How do we get them into church? That's the question, right? I always point people to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14 has that, it's a parable of the great wedding banquet or a great banquet feast. And, you know, there's still room at the table. The people have turned down the invitations. He said, go out and find the blind and the lame and the sick and bring them in. They said, well, we've already done that. There's still more room. He says, then go find them. And I think the language there is go out to the lanes and the hedges, or, you know, go out to the margins, go out to the unknown places and find them. There are disabled people in every city, in every town. A lot of them live in care facilities, and they welcome visitors. In fact, they would welcome an invitation to bring a van load or a bus load to church. It's really about going to find them. And, you know, it could be through family contacts. But I think the big thing is you go to a local network of care facilities and say, can we come into your place and offer worship? Or can we invite you to come to and join us at our place of worship? Let me tell you a true story about this. When our daughter got to be 22 or 23, we realized that her care was not getting easier. It was getting more difficult, and she needed better care than we could give her. So she moved into what they call here in Florida an intermediate care facility. And so we asked the director there if they could bring her to church, you know, with some friends, perhaps once a month or something to our church. And she said, it was very interesting. She says, well, we'll come and visit if you'll allow us to return. And I said, what do you mean if we allow you to return? And she said, we've had churches ask us not to come back. And I'll tell you, that just broke my heart. Apparently, there are times and places where churches have been so uncomfortable, there's been so much fear, so much misunderstanding, that they've kind of said, we'd rather not have you come back. And that's such a shame, because they're missing out on so much. Folks would love to come to a church. They just need to be invited. And they're not going to come on their own. You have to go find them.
That's a really sad story. And so, you know, how should people who are leaders in their church really be thinking about including people with disabilities? I mean, what do they need to do in terms of their own church life to welcome people with disabilities? I mentioned that at our church, the one I attend now, it's such a very large church that there is specifically a ministry mainly to families with people with disabilities who have specifically intellectual disabilities. But how can, you know, I don't think anyone, I would hope no one listening to this podcast would, you know, think that their church would be a place that would turn away people who would want to come. So what could church leaders be doing to think through, you know, how they could really incorporate people with disabilities into worship, into the life of their church?
Well, here's a little secret, Melanie. The book that I wrote that came out, from which you all invited me to write the article, Disability in the Gospel, I really wrote that for leaders in the church. And I tell families with disabilities who get the book, I said, get a copy if you're a pastor. If they'll read this, you might see some things change, I hope. I tell pastors all the time, disability ministry, inviting people with disabilities, finding people on the margins is always a huge risk to your church. It's a risky business. This goes for ministry to people with homelessness, incarcerated people, widows, orphans. This is always a risk. It's terribly impractical ministry from a return on investment perspective. I mean, pragmatically, it's a black hole of resources, right? People with disabilities don't have resources to bring to the church financially. They cost a lot of money. They need a lot of manpower. But I tell leaders, God never works the way we expect, right? I mean, we just went through Christmas with the incarnation. God could have come as a conquering king. He came as a terribly fragile and vulnerable newborn baby. That's how God works. He uses the weak to shame the strong. He uses the those who are not wise to shame the wise. He does things upside down. And when a church welcomes people with disabilities, when a church welcomes people on the margins, that I say the margins, the disenfranchised, the forgotten, Jesus really shows up. And you know, people ask, well, why should we do this? I say, because Jesus did this. These are the people he spent time with. And when you bring people like this to your church, when they become an active part of your church and a big presence in your church, guess what? We'll learn from them. The good news comes alive in new ways, and the church will never be the same again.
I would encourage people, if you know families that have children with disabilities, especially intellectual ones, you know, to invite them into your home. We had a family they're very involved in our church, and they're leaders in our church, actually. And their oldest daughter is profoundly disabled. I don't know how old she is, in her mid, early 20s, and she doesn't speak. She's nonverbal. She still lives at home, but you know, it might not be comfortable at first bringing someone like that into your home and just having to be aware of how to encourage them to be part of it. But we did, and it was just a really great time of fellowship. So I would encourage people to take that step, because you're right. It makes us feel uncomfortable.
And when it starts with the leaders, when the leaders get it, everybody else will join in. Too often these ministries at churches start kind of from the ground up because there's a family with a kid or a couple families with kids that need help. But when the leaders embrace it and when the leaders advocate it, that's when it really comes alive and wonderful things happen in churches. There are good churches around the country doing this, and they become real lights in their community. And when families with disabilities, whatever they are, hear about those churches, they will come to church because they know they'll be accepted. Again, it's a risk for leaders. It is. I get that. It's a risk. But it's what Jesus did.
And not just in our churches. I think just more broadly, you know, in our culture, I think the Americans with Disabilities Act was passed about 25 years ago, and it's been in the news lately because of the passing of President George H.W. Bush, who had signed that, the ADA. But what are challenges that people face from the culture even since the ADA was passed 25 years ago?
You know, Johnny Tata tells a story, because she was actually part of George H.W. Bush's council, I think, that did some of that stuff, and she was there at the signing. And a group of the people, some of the disability leaders, met together after the signing, and they were celebrating. And the one guy, and I don't remember who he was, but he was a man who lived with a disability like Johnny. And he said, well, we'll get lifts onto buses now. We'll get ramps into buildings. We'll get dipped curbs. But that doesn't mean that the bus driver's heart's going to be changed. It doesn't mean that the doorman's heart's going to be changed. And he raised a glass and he said, here's to changed hearts. And, you know, ADA has been around for 25 years, but there's still a lot of pretty hard hearts out there in our culture. A lot of people who would just rather not be bothered. And that continues to be the challenge for people with disabilities, is that the culture still would just rather not have them around. The other big challenge is technological advances, right? We're able to diagnose and dispose of people far more easily than we used to be able to do. And that's a real challenge for the disability community. I think last year, what was it, Iceland kind of bragged, and I think they may have been sorry they did so, that they have eradicated Down syndrome from their culture in Iceland. And so many of us thought, oh my, how sad for your culture. Because these are wonderful people who bring a richness and a gentleness and an authenticity to the lives that they touch. And you're proud that you no longer have that. You know, that's very sad. But that's because the technology is there to eradicate that before birth. So there's a huge technological challenge. And there's also just the heart challenge that these folks are still going to face. So, but that's where Christ really makes a difference. With the mind and the heart of Christ, the church needs to be a place that's a refuge for those in need.
And how can people in the church, if we know of people that families with kids with disabilities, what are ways in which we can encourage those families at our church, in addition to including them in, you know, the life of the church? You know, you said it's very hard for families. And so what are ways that they could be encouraged?
Well, here's something I would give to your listeners. When you encounter a family with a disability, don't ask what you can do for them. Don't say, call me if I can help you. Rather than that, I tell them, call them up and say, hey, I'm going to bring a meal over on Saturday. What do you like? Or is there something I shouldn't bring? Make the proactive offer, okay? If you say to a family, hey, call us if we can do something, guess what? They're never going to call you. they're just not going to call you. They've got too much other stuff to do. Life's hard enough. But if you call them and say, you know, we'd love to come over and, gosh, just, you know, give you and your spouse a couple hours off to go to a movie or go out to the store together. We'll watch your kid. That is a wonderful gift. Or if you come over and just say, you know what, let me do some chores for you because I know life's hard for you right now, and do some chores for them. But again, being proactive, taking the lead and saying, how can we, just to say, how can we help you? That's too hard. Say, here's how we'd like to help you. And that will be met with open arms and with deep gratitude. Trust me.
Well, finally, I want to end with some fun rapid fire questions for Mike. And Mike, it's a brand new year, and you know, it is wintry in a lot of places. So I've been asking people what they like to drink when it's cold, but it's not cold in Florida.
It's not too cold.
I was saying if they prefer hot coffee, tea, or hot chocolate, but I guess you could even be drinking iced tea right now.
I drink hot coffee all year round, but we drink sweet tea around here all year round too. Cold tea. Yeah. That's really the drink of choice around here when it's over 75. When it's under 75, we're putting on sweaters here.
Yeah, it gets very humid in Florida. So it's a new year. Did you make any New Year's resolutions? And if you did, what were they?
You know, I'm one of those guys that resolved a long time ago not to make resolutions. I know myself too well, so I avoid those.
Are you an introvert or an extrovert?
It actually kind of depends on the occasion. I think in large crowds, I'm an introvert. But with small groups of people, I'm more of an extrovert, if that makes sense.
If you had to choose, would you prefer doing your own taxes or having jury duty?
Oh, my. Oh, is there a choice there, really? I would probably do jury duty, believe it or not.
I'm trying to think if anyone's ever said they want to do their own taxes. Maybe there's somebody out there like that. And how old were you when you became a Christian?
I was in high school. I was a sophomore in high school. So that put me, 15, 16? Yeah.
Well, thanks, Mike, for being a guest on the Postmodern Realities podcast.
Melanie, it's been a pleasure to be with you.
Today's guest is Dr. Mike Batis, who wrote a feature article for the Christian Research Journal. It's called Retelling the Old, Old Story, Sharing the Gospel with Those Living with Disability. And it's free online at our website, equip.org. To read more articles like this one, please subscribe to our journal. A 6-issue subscription is now at a new lower price of $33.50. And to subscribe online, visit equip.org. We'd like to hear from you, so connect with us on social media, like the Bible Answer Man Facebook page, and follow CRI, Christian Research Journal, Hank Hanegraaff, and the Bible Answer Man on Twitter. And please subscribe to the Bible Answer Man channel on YouTube. If you like this episode, please subscribe to the Postmodern Realities podcast on iTunes, and please rate and review our podcast. When you rate and review our podcast, it helps others see our content. And please share this episode on your social media accounts. Be sure you tune in daily to the Bible Answer Man broadcast hosted by CRI President Hank Canagraff, who answers your questions live on air. To ask Hank a question, call 888-ASK-HANK Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. In addition, head to iTunes and subscribe to Hank Unplugged, Hank's audio podcast. Follow Hank off the grid, where he has in-depth conversations with some of the brightest minds discussing topics you care about. So until our next Christian Research Journal author conversation, thanks for listening to the Postmodern Realities podcast.